Good Monday to you, and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching on our Lewis Center campus. And this week, we jump back into the week two of the series called The Good Life, where we are continuing to ask the question, what if the good life demands difficult moments? And we looked at Job, this character in Scripture, who inexplicably last week, in week one, lost everything, financial empire, his physical health was affected, he loses his family outside of his wife. And so a lot of times, the question that we ask is why me, why here, why us, why now? And that's really what we talked about in year one. But once we get past that why question and we understand that, man, the love of God is what we really need and what we're really looking for, once we become settled about that, I think the next question we ask is how? How am I going to make it through this? And the answer is comfort. And, comfort's kind of like a shock absorber on your car. It doesn't eliminate the bumps or the puddles. It just absorbs the shock to a certain degree, so much that it doesn't just, shake you apart. And so what we talked about is that, the thing that helps us absorb the shock of these moments in our lives, really is you've got to remember what God's goal is. You need friends, and then ultimately you need the friend. And one of the things that grief does for us, it reminds us that God's goal for our lives is that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. In the same way that Michelangelo takes a raw piece of marble and turns it into the Pietà, we showed the picture of that, of Mary holding the body of Jesus. That level of intentionality and care, God uses grief in our life like a very effective chisel to chip away anything in us that doesn't look like the Savior. And we know that because God allowed the worst thing ever to happen to the greatest person ever, His Son, for the highest good ever, for our salvation. And God will use these moments in our lives to chisel us into something that's both tenacious and content, bold and humble, convictional, and a tender place for others to land on as they go through grief. And so Job goes through this tragedy, and it's compounded by other people, to be honest. Job's wife tells him to curse God and die. And essentially, she gets to the point where she tells Job to take the easy way out in some ways. I told the campus at Lewis Center, I said, I tried to look that verse up in other translations, but there's nothing that sounds better, right? She basically says, give up and make sure your life insurance policy is up to date, right? And I just said that, tragedy really can affect marriage. Divorce rates are about 80% higher for couples who experience financial loss, loss of a child or children, and significant health issues. In a lot of ways, I think Job's wife was trying to, she cared about him. She loved him, and she couldn't just bear to see him go through that, I think. On the other hand, I've seen couples who walk through tragedy and, man, they take the punches, and it reveals something beautiful about their marriage, right? That they really meant for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Job's friends come along, and their silence was brilliant while they were sitting Shiva for 7 days with Job, but their words were ignorant. They constantly judged Job, and their names were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. I referred to them as Mo, Larry, and Curly. Just because accusation after accusation. And I think, it's not just religious people. Both religious and irreligious people believe in retribution. Irreligious people call it karma. Religious people call it justice. And when we believe that, what we're saying is that the better your obedience, the better your circumstances. But that doesn't work in Job's case. If you plot that on a graph, he was really great in obedience, and his circumstances were really bad. And so the scriptures are just brilliant, I think, in their encouragement to us. Romans 12:15, the second half of that verse just says, weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. You don't have to say the exact right thing. As a matter of fact, most times it's better that you don't say anything. Your ministry of presence. Just be there. Just cry and offer people your time. I think that's why being connected in church is so important. That's why having a life group is so important. I think we have the best life group leaders anywhere I know of, any church I know of. I tell people about our church and our leaders, and you know, they're there to celebrate the best moments like wedding showers. They facilitate children's discipleship. They organize meals in a crisis. They work with Serve the City partners. They study to teach lessons. They provide wise counsel. They have gospel conversations. Everybody needs a group like this. And so if you're not currently connected to a group, you know, you can just text the word groups, plural, to the number 75642, and we will help you get connected. What's great is that God uses even these friends to help shape, to help sculpt Job's life. I think what we need is not just friends, but we need the friend. You know, retribution is getting what you earned, right? And we all say, oh, I want fair, but I love it that we have a God who is wonderfully unfair. I think Pastor Dan from our Worthington campus said that in our group this week. So retribution is getting what you earned, but grace is getting what Jesus earned for us on the cross. You know, Jesus had three friends, and on the night he needed them the most, they couldn't even stay up to pray with him. And I want you to think about that. On a night where Peter is going to warm himself by the fire a couple of times at night, it was that cold on that same night, Jesus prayed so intensely that he sweats drops of blood. He asked these three friends to pray with him, and they fell asleep. Of course, the difference is at the end of Job's book, right? He gets rewarded. Jesus's reward is that he suffers a crown of thorns, a cat of nine tails, and a crucifixion. So how do we make it? How do we receive comfort? We'd receive it from the God who proves it. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us all things? If God was willing to send Jesus to the cross for you, what will he not use in your life to see Jesus formed in you? I'm going to pray that for us today, and then you can pray. God, thank you that you proved your love for us. Thank you that you bring us friends, not friends that we agree with all the time, but friends, God, that are used in our lives to turn us into something beautiful. So we receive that gift from you today, and we trust you that you are working for our good. Now you take the opportunity to pray.